First thing up here says, Matthew 24:24, Jesus said, "For false Christs and false prophets will arise and perform great signs and wonders so as to lead astray even the elect." Peter said in 2 Peter 2:2, "Just as there will be false teachers among you." Now, the reason I say those things is because it's your responsibility to make sure that what is preached or taught is what the Bible says before you believe it and then repeat it. Acts 17:11 tells us that the Bereans examined the scriptures daily to see if what Paul said was true. 6 weeks ago, that's blank on purpose, by the way. 6 weeks ago, I was in Middle Tennessee, and I heard this very good sermon. And I mentioned to Tom when I came back, I said, "I heard a really good sermon." And he said, "Okay, well, we'll pencil you in then, so you can tell us about it." Well, 6 weeks have passed, and I forgot a lot of what he said. I forgot a lot of what happened yesterday, but anyway, I will try to duplicate some of the things he said, and I've also added a few things too. Hope that it will encourage you with this lesson this morning. Back on July 27th, I was traveling down East Brainerd Road. You're going to have to pretend those are vehicles. Let's see. I was in this one, the white one. There was a truck beside me. It's actually red, but up there it's orange. On here it's red. And there was a vehicle over in the center lane that was wanting to merge in. And he was wanting to come in front of the red one. Well, yeah, that was supposed to be there. Well, when he did, the driver of the red truck got really angry about him pulling in front of him because it was rush hour traffic, and once he pulled in, he had to put on his brakes. And the driver of that truck got really angry, and he stomped the gas and pulled around him, pulled in front of him, and slammed on the brakes. I mean, he slammed on the brakes. You see smoke coming off the tires. And several things ran through my mind. One of which, what the possibilities could have been if that second vehicle hadn't stopped. One would have been a car wreck. The other could have been personal injuries, possibly death, and even to those who were around it. We could have been involved in it. And several thoughts went through my mind, which I probably shouldn't have thought. One was, what a jerk. How could he do such a thing? Well, that's just the tip of the iceberg. Road rage is minor compared to other occurrences that we see and read about every day. And we've seen a lot of rioting, looting, and murders. What has gotten into people? Matthew 5:38 says, "You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Sweet revenge." I thought, yeah, somebody ought to just pull back over in front of that guy and slam on their brakes and let him know how it feels. But life is not fair. Many people who are wicked or evil are also successful and prosperous. But revenge is not the answer that we should be looking for. We are told to pray for those who persecute us. We are told to turn the other cheek. Let's see what the psalmist tells us about how we should react to those who are evildoers. If you want to turn with me to Psalms 37, we're going to spend a lot of time reading that today. It's where David has written a few things for our learning. Verse 25 of that chapter tells us that he is old and he's looking back. We'll start with reading the first 11 verses, Psalms 37, 1 through 11. It says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed." Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Commit thy ways unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger, and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Let's look back at what he said. In verse 1 it says, don't fret or worry or be envious of them. In chapter 3 it says, trust on Jehovah and do good. Feed on his faithfulness. Number 4, delight in Jehovah. Verse 5, commit thy ways to Jehovah. Trust in him. Verse 7, rest in Jehovah. Wait patiently for him. Verse 8, cease from anger and forsake wrath. More reasons for not being upset. Verse 9, evildoers shall be cut off. Those that wait on Jehovah shall inherit the land. Verse 10, for yet a little while, and they shall not be. Not that they would see wickedness in, but that life is short. Revelation 12:12 says the devil knows that he has but a short time. A lifetime on earth is but a short time. Now let's read verses 12 through 15. The wicked plotteth against the just, and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn out the sword, and have bent their bow, to cast down the poor and needy, and to slay such as be of upright conversation. Their sword shall enter into their own heart, and their bowels shall be broken. Verse 11, that was part of the other one, wasn't it? This tells of the futility of the wicked activities. God sees that his day is coming in verse 13. His day is the judgment day. The ultimate defeat and overthrow of the wicked is not something in which God would intervene and disrupt, because he sees it coming and laughs at the futile devices of the wicked. Let's look at verses 16 through 22. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume. Into smoke shall they consume away. The wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. For such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. The righteous and the wicked are contrasted in these verses. The greed, envy, and covetousness that eats into the heart of the wicked are never fulfilled, but the child of God learns that godliness and contentment is great gain. In verse 20, he said, the enemies of Jehovah shall be like the fat of lambs. In other words, burned up just like the fat of the sacrifices were always burned. You can read about that in Exodus 29. Let's look at verses 23 and 24. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. These are the blessings he enjoyed by the righteousness. Though he fall, not utterly cast down. If you look at Deuteronomy 32:35, Hebrews 10:30, and Romans 12:19, you'll see that vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Revenge will come from God. We don't need to try to do it. In the conclusion, there's lots of ways to be evil besides the few ways I mentioned at first. Look at Galatians 5, verses 19 through 21. We'll see, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenlies, revelings, and such like. In other words, the few things I mentioned to begin with, the road rage, the rioting, the looting, the murders, that's just, like I said, the tip of the iceberg. There are so many things that are considered evil, so many things that we can get caught up in ourselves. I'm sure there's not any murderers in here. Well, I hope there's not any murderers in here. But these other things that we look at is sometimes we call little white lies. That's just as bad. There's no degree of sin. They're all bad. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, "We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that we may receive the things done in his body according to that which he has done, whether it be good or bad." Few of these people will recognize the first thing on there says windshield. A wise man told me the other night that life is, going through life is like driving a car. In front of you is this big windshield so you can see ahead of you, and there's this little bitty mirror so you can see behind you. So keep your eye in front of you, forget the past, try to do better in the future. Then there was a saying, it says, "I am older and smarter because God was with me when I was young and stupid." And I can certainly go along with that. Well, I'm older anyway. But I don't make the mistakes I used to make. I make new ones. But then there's God's retirement plan. It says, God doesn't pay much, but his retirement plan is out of this world. The implication here is that there are things that happen every day that we can get angry about. There are people that we meet every day that we can get angry with. But it's not our place to get back at them. It's our place to pray for them. It's our place to do good to them, to heap coals upon them. That by our good decisions, they may see Christ living in us, and we may influence them to change their ways. But we should not repay evil for evil. We should not seek revenge, because the revenge that God has for evildoers is a lot worse than anything we could do to them. The only way to be sure that we can have those blessings from God, that we can end up in heaven, is to be a child of God. We must hear the gospel. We must believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. We must change our ways, because we all sin. And if we are not in the right fellowship relationship with God, we need to be that way. And that's a change we need to make in our lives. We need to confess to others that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and not just by mouth, but by the way we live also. And then we're told in Romans 6 that baptism, just like Jesus went down into the grave and came back up, that our baptism in the water, when we come back up, we're a new creature. We are a new Christian. We are Christ's follower.